But when you have a passion of something, what, okay, I love doing this. Cool. That's great. Hold on to that. What problem can you solve with that passion? And then how can we monetize that? What is a fair wage? And sometimes you got to do things for free. Sometimes you got to really undercut yourself to get yourself started, or you got to start as a side hustle. Yeah, you might have to work at McDonald's for 40 hours a week and do that sidewalk chalk art after hours or early in the morning before you get to your first shift. Or if you're doing overnight, you got to do what you got to do. But for me, entrepreneurship, true entrepreneurship, is doing what you love. Because I know a lot of business owners that hate what they do, but the money's too good to leave. But if you're going to spend most of your life working, or at least a third of your life working, do you really want to do something you don't want to do? And I know so many 40, 50 year olds that chase the money and forget the passion because they just follow the money. Then in the end, they either become super apathetic, right? Or they're the ones that kind of crush the dreams of their kids and others that are going for it because they're like, well, I let go of that. So you better let go of that. Or I see a radical leap where at 40, 50 years old, they give up all the money just so they can finally chase the passion.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with David Schaub. David, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you.
Dude, it's a long time coming. You've been doing what I do for longer than way in terms of entrepreneurship. You've been an entrepreneur your whole life, to my understanding. But you're the host of the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, where you're talking to the very best business people, entrepreneurs in Western New York. I'm going to use my cheat sheet because you've got so much going on, man. You're a keynote speaker, a territory manager for the movement, franchise owner of N2 Publishing. Again, you're a podcast host. You put together networking events. Dude, I'm probably missing things because you're a man of many talents. First, let me ask, is there anything that I missed that we should highlight about your current career?
No, I think that's basically it. You can probably tell that I get bored pretty easily. I've never really done anything for more than 5-6 years because I'm a builder. I'm not a sustainer. I don't want to do the same thing for 30, 40 years. Like my grandpa worked for GM for 40 years. Amazing man. Great. Awesome. Right. I'm just not wired that way. I do something, I build it. Then I try to delegate it. If I can't do that, I actually try to leave it or exit my way out and do something. That's kind of how I'm wired.
Were you wired that way from the start? Like, were you born with entrepreneurship in your blood, or did some mentor or someone come in and basically influence you or push you in that direction? Because, you know, from first meeting you, it seems like you've been an entrepreneur your whole career, right?
Yeah, well, I was kind of forced into entrepreneurship. So, you know, I grew up to give you my synopsis of my life, and you can ask any questions you want to fill in the blanks if you want any. But
take your time. I like stories. So,
yeah. So, I you know, to give you my thing in a nutshell, the best way I can is, you know, I grew up in a very like a poor family. I was one of five kids growing up. My mom was a single mom. My dad went to prison when I was young. So I literally legally couldn't meet my dad legally. Couldn't have a phone call, a letter, or anything until I was 14 years of age. My mom got remarried when I was 8, but he was an alcoholic and he abruptly left our family when I was 17, leaving behind, my two half sisters and obviously my three brothers and sisters. And, so I was arrested 5 times before I was 20. So you can see the apple didn't fall too far from the tree, and
yeah.
I was kicked out of college at a 0.86 GPA. How I got that is clearly I didn't go to class too often or try too hard. And so really at 20 years old, I was really forced into entrepreneurship. I didn't have a degree, had a record, and it was a huge wake up call for me, And, you know, I'll spare the details there, but long story short, I started an office for a marketing company, actually in Jamestown, New York. It's like, if you know Jamestown, it's not the most thriving metropolis in the world here. And I did really well at it. And then I moved to Buffalo 2 years later and started an office there. Left at when I was 26, bought a franchise for a publishing company. And then I delegated it all where I had 5 employees working for me. And I had more time on my hands. So I wrote a couple of books, started doing motivational speaking to college students, entrepreneurship conferences, leadership conferences. And then I got married. So I stopped doing that. And because my wife didn't want me on a plane every week. And plus, I didn't want to be an absent husband. And so that being said, I started the West Jerk Entrepreneur Podcast to highlight local entrepreneurs, because there's amazing podcasts out there that highlight, you know, Fortune 500 CEOs and all these amazing people. I'm like, well, I have a lot of connections here in the Western New York area for what I do. How do I bring that together so I can help other entrepreneurs learn from those amazing people? Because I don't know about you, Ben, you ever go to a conference in like San Diego or Indianapolis or, you know, Fort Lauderdale, and you're like, wow, that's really great, but would that work here in Buffalo? Well, you know, it's a different jungle sometimes. So anyways, I started that a couple of years ago. So that's kind of me and my story in a nutshell.
I love it. And you're a young guy. I know if someone is just listening to the audio, they might not realize, what are you in your like late 20s? Like, you're a young dude.
I'm 33. I'll be 34 in July. Zoom can cover up some wrinkles sometimes, I guess.
I don't bring that up for you to just expose your age. It's just, you've done so much in a short period of time with entrepreneurship, where you're one of the, you know, lead speakers, influencers in Western New York for entrepreneurship, for podcasting, for networking. And you mentioned you've written 2 books. A lot of times at the end, I like to ask for book recommendations, but let's ask for them right now. What are these books you've written, David?
Yeah, so I've written 2. One is for more of the college market. It's free because I know college students are pretty broke. And if they have 15 bucks, are they going to buy another book? They spent how much money in textbooks? Or are they going to buy a 30 pack of, you know, Keystone? You know, let's be honest. So I try to make it free and accessible for them. So that's called How to Feel Empowered When You're Overwhelmed. Because I don't know about you, college students feel pretty overwhelmed these days. And even as adults, we feel overwhelmed. So I've kind of just taken my approach. It's a really short book. It's like 48 pages. Because again, you know, I don't, we ever read, like, you know, halfway into a book and you're like, okay, I get the idea. Yeah. I don't need the other half. Right. So for me, I try to get short to the point. And then my other one, the first one I wrote was called Never Complete. And basically, if I had to give a quick synopsis of the back cover of it, is basically it's basically how imperfect I am. It's not about the 7 keys to success, how to have it all together. It's more about really how imperfect I am in my journey and how we can feel empowered, how we can really just, just walk through life and take a next step in becoming who we are, despite having a lot of flaws and a lot to work with. And a lot of times things that happen to us, they're not our fault. The way we grew up, things that happened to us, and how we can use that to really just share our story. And again, taking a next step and becoming who we were meant to be. So really, I made a lot of things in my book that I never admitted to anyone before that book came out. And it was just, so again, if you want a book about how to have it all together, it's a really bad book for you, is what I'm trying to say. So a lot of times people read the book, they're like, why would you admit that? I'm like, someone needs to hear that. You know, someone really needs to hear how of an imperfect leader I am and how we can still take a next step into not into redemption, but becoming who we're meant to be. Someone needs to hear that story. So anyways, that's my books in a nutshell.
It's fascinating. There's already so many moving parts to the point, David, I know I'm going to end up asking you back on the show because we could dive so deep in all these topics. Let's touch on both those books because you mentioned, you know, how to feel empowered if you're overwhelmed. I like the concept that it's a short book because what a great way to get an easy win to not have to read a 600-page encyclopedia digest with all this research. Let's win by basically reading the short book that can move us on that trajectory. Like, can we get the Cliff Notes version? Like, how do I win? How do I feel empowered? I'm overwhelmed. I'm busy. I'm a college student. I just started my new business last year. What quick tips do you have from that book?
Yeah, well, you know, whether you've owned a business for 40 years or 40 seconds, often if we ignore things, they really get magnified. And as a leader, if we have these small cracks or things that we don't think are really important, money doesn't change us. People say, well, if you make money, you change. We never change. It is magnified who we are. So if I'm a little bit of greedy or a little bit of, if I have this little problem, as soon as we have more success, that problem actually magnifies. So money doesn't change us. It actually magnifies who we are. Is that good? If I magnified who you are, is that a good thing or a bad thing, right? And we have to be real about that. And often, if I'm being honest with myself, I'm like, man, if I magnify this, that's not a good thing. So for me, one of the, I don't want to call it a secret, but one thing that really works for me is asking honest questions and giving honest answers to myself and having a group of people around me that are constantly in a loving, caring, graceful, but truthful way. We need grace, but we need truth, right? I need grace when I mess up because I'm a very imperfect person, but I need truth at the same time. So for me, I need that for myself and I need people around that. So for me, when I sit down on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis and just be like, what do I like about my life right now? What do I not like about it? What are things I can't control? What are things I have to let go of? How am I being a good husband? And having that hard conversation with your wife, what can I improve as a husband? How am I really doing? How are we really doing right now? And sometimes it's really hard to hear that feedback. It's really tough. But it's just taking the ego aside and say, hey, I'm not getting my identity from having all these problems or things going on. It's like, hey, you know, I can keep going. Like I said, it's hard to give it all, yeah. A couple hundred pages into that time. But
right.
It's just being the word that comes to mind is intentional, being very intentional with who you are, who you're becoming. And a lot of times I feel like as business owners, we focus on what we're doing and letting that basically identify who we're, say who we are. But I want to work from victory versus for victory. I want to know that, like, hey, even if I mess up, like my identity is taken care of. So that being said, I just, again, honest questions, honest answers, having great people around you. I don't want someone who disagrees with me all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't want someone that says, Dave, you're doing great. I don't need a cheerleading squad. You know, even though we like to know that we're doing things great, I think that's really what really changed my life. Was having great mentors, but having a group of people I can really dive in deep with.
I love all this. I mean, honest questions, honest answers, having a group of people that are actually holding you accountable, realizing that money, success, growth is just a magnifier. If you're an asshole and a shitty person, guess what's going to happen? As you gain that success, you're going to be more of an asshole and probably a shittier person. And I kind of have my fingers crossed that people like that fall on their face, because if you've got a good network, you ask good questions, you've got a growth mindset, you're looking at helping the people around you, you're the kind of person that deserves the success. That asshole, I sometimes wonder, this is a total digression, how the hell they get to the top. I don't know if it's some sort of narcissism that they're okay with lying and leaving people at the bottom, but just because you're gaining momentum doesn't make you any better of a person. If you're a shitty person to start, you're a shitty person at the top. And that's just a fact.
Well, a lot of times it looks great because they're at the top of the mountain, right? They got the trophy or the big house or whatever you consider the top of the mountain. Everyone has different viewpoints of what they are. But I mean, for me, what I do, I to kind of give you some backstory of it, I own a franchise for a publishing company and I work with very high-end affluent neighborhoods in Buffalo. And I work with millionaires every day and that have 5-6 car garages, that have more toys than they know what to play with, right? And everything seems like on a financial standpoint that, wow, everything is so amazing there. But when you really get to know people, you realize they're just human beings and they have struggles just like you and I. And often when we have more success, there's a lot more problems, right? Because we have to obtain that or we have to keep that. Or God forbid, if we get a smaller house because, maybe business isn't doing as well during the pandemic, you almost have to uphold it. And a lot of times it comes with a lot of stress. So I also know a lot of millionaires that are amazing people, right? And I also know a lot of millionaires that are absolutely miserable people. Their kids don't know who they are. You know, when was the last time, you know, their marriage is failing? And I'm not here to judge all that. The point is that, I remember hearing this once, it always stuck out to me. If you're going to be envious of someone, you better be envious of their problems too. So for me, it's like, if you're going to be envious of their Maserati, you better be envious of that payment too, right? So for me, I just sit there and go, am I getting my identity from them being on top of the mountain? Because is that really what I need to get out of my life to be, to basically sing the song I was meant to sing? When you really look at it, it's not really true. So when you really are just excited about your life, taking next steps, you're pursuing your passion or gift that you feel like God has really given you, you just get really excited. And if the money comes, great. Yeah, we need money to pay bills. I'm with you. I have financial goals. I'm totally with that. But those goals don't define me. There's a big difference. I can go for them, but they don't define me in the end. Because if not, it's never good enough. It's never going to, and then you start getting aggravated. You start becoming apathetic. You start trying to become controlling. And when we try to control things, we start getting angry. We start taking shortcuts. How do I, this person's getting in the way of that, right? And then we start becoming that jerk. So again, honest questions, honest answers. Why do I need to achieve this goal? Is it to show everybody off? Is it to prove people wrong? Is it the fight that wound that was given to me 25 years ago because my dad wasn't there? What is your root of everything you're doing? And if we're being honest, sometimes we don't like the answers that we're really giving ourselves here. And that's okay. But what's the next step are we going to take? And often our next step isn't to do something. It's actually to get rid of something or remove something, to create space for something better for ourselves. I know it sounds super, what do you want to call it, spiritual, or like, man, you're thinking about this too much. But when I think when we really dive into that, when we really get intentional with that, we stop missing the mark. And we start really living life on our own terms and who we were created to be with our gifts and passions. Because Ben, man, you have a destiny that I don't have. You have unique gifts that I don't have. You have a circle of influence that I'm never going to reach, man. And if you're not becoming your best version, being intentional with that, man, people are missing out on that, if you will. So that's really what that book is really about, diving in with that. And there's always questions at the end of every chapter is basically saying, hey, what are your thoughts on this? When I said this, what kind of stuck out to you? And what do you feel like your next step is here?
Mm. I think you're spot on. There's this like taboo of saying things that are cliche or being too spiritual. And I kind of want to like knock people like in the head and just say, listen, it's cliche because it works. Like you need to determine your own goalpost. You need to figure out your passion, what you ultimately, how you can serve the world and what's going to fulfill you and start from there. Like the Maserati, that's someone else's life. And I know personally, honest question from me, and I'll give you a little bit of background without saying too much. I was similar. I never got in a ton of trouble, but I spent a lot of time in the back of police cars, whether it was sneaking out almost nightly, drinking at a young age, smoking pot, selling pot at a young age, which now is legal, but I was in the back of cop cars because I was walking around with an ounce of weed. Nothing too harmful, but that's part of my history, and I didn't open my mouth until I was 12, 13 years old, so I was the quiet kid, and then you get into drinking and drugs, and suddenly you fit in, and you have a place, and I feel like I really stunted my development, like bad. Like, I was a 22-year-old who was acting like a 15-year-old, and ultimately, I didn't start my entrepreneurship journey until a few years ago. And I kind of was just getting my feet wet. You know, I started a music podcast and started promoting bands and booking for bands. And this was actually in 2016, but I was doing this on the side, but I was still corporate, straight all the way through. And I never saw myself as an entrepreneur. I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur. I was the kid who wouldn't even open his mouth and move to drugs for guidance. Like, I never saw myself as a successful business owner. And I know a lot of people have their own struggles and their own stories. And maybe they're in business now, or maybe they're in an entrepreneurship role where a lot of what they do, they're working from home, is their call. And they're trying to figure out what their entrepreneurship journey is. I don't know if it's through telling your story or talking about why become an entrepreneur. I'm curious because I don't have great advice because it just sort of happened to me. I wasn't born an entrepreneur, didn't think I'd be an entrepreneur. Suddenly I was, and I'm a successful one. If someone wants to become an entrepreneur, what advice do you have? I know this is a very, you know, but honest question. I don't know the answer, and I don't know if you have any feedback on it.
Yeah, you know, everyone has their own definition of entrepreneurship, right? Means this, or there also people have their own definition of success, right? Some people say, "My, you know, success means do what you want, when you want, how often you want, as much as you want, with whoever you want," right? And I used to define that in my early 20s, but I realized really quick that actually gets kind of boring. I know it sounds crazy, but it does get boring. It does get stale, and you realize that it's never enough, you know. But that being said, I want to answer your question on entrepreneurship. My definition is doing what you love doing, so passion. Okay, so I love doing what I'm doing, solving a problem that people actually need to be or want to be solved, and I'm monetizing it. So again, what are you really passionate about? What do you love doing? It could be something silly, like I use this example often, but so silly, but it's a great example in my opinion. If you like, I love drawing on sidewalks. Awesome, man. So you're a sidewalk chalk artist. Cool. What problem can you solve being a sidewalk chalk artist that people be willing to pay you to do that? Okay, let's think out loud for a second. you can go to businesses and actually get traffic in the door. If you're really good at what you do and you're really working on that craft, you could probably bring customers into restaurants or gift shops or whatever it was, a walkway, by doing really good artwork. Wow, people are taking pictures of that in front of them. And if they tag the business, they can, you know, they can get a promotion or 10% off, right? Getting people, so you monetize that. And if you can show proof of, hey, these three businesses done this, right? First you do it for free, then you show proof, and then you charge for it. Do you see my point here? How outlandish that sounds? But when you have a passion of something, I love doing this. Cool. That's great. Hold on to that. What problem can you solve with that passion? And then how can we monetize that? What is a fair wage? And sometimes you got to do things for free. Sometimes you got to really undercut yourself to get yourself started, or you got to start as a side hustle. Yeah, you might have to work at McDonald's for 40 hours a week and do that sidewalk chalk art after hours or early in the morning before you get to your first shift. Or if you're doing overnight, you got to do what you got to do. But for me, entrepreneurship, true entrepreneurship, is doing what you love. Because I know a lot of business owners that hate what they do, but the money's too good to leave. But if you're going to spend most of your life working, or at least a third of your life working, do you really want to do something you don't want to do? And I know so many 40, 50 year olds that chase the money and forget the passion because they just follow the money. Then in the end, they either become super apathetic, right? Or they're the ones that kind of crush the dreams of their kids and others that are going for it because they're like, well, I let go of that, so you better let go of that. Or I see a radical leap where at 40, 50 years old, they give up all the money just so they can finally chase the passion.
Right.
So don't hang out with apathetic people. There's some advice for you. Don't listen to apathetic people because you don't want to get to where they're going. And you heard the phrase, don't let others who gave up on their dreams talk you out of theirs. It's very true. It sounds super cliche, but who are you hanging out with? Who are you talking to? You don't need to hang around millionaires necessarily, but you're hanging out with people that are just going for it in life. Because it's really dang hard to be around a group of people that are going for it in life and not let them, you know, then you just sit there not going for it. It's really tough. But if you're around people that are very apathetic or, you know, same shit, different day, their life is just coasting, you know, if you're hanging on those people, don't be surprised when you do that too. Are you hanging out with? Who are you talking to? Why don't I have friends like that? What about audiobooks? What network events can you go to that you can connect with people? Again, you attract who you are. Who are you attracting? Is it, you know, all these different questions, right? How do I, you know, wow, I got some work to do here. Right. So anyways, that just some random thoughts there. ADD kind of kicked off there.
Well, and so honestly, I've never seen someone take something like drawing chalk on a sidewalk and turn it into such a huge thing. It's like, I want to start that business now. That sounds incredible. But what if theoretically I'm already full time at McDonald's? I've been drawing this chalk on the sidewalk, but it's freaking spring and it's raining every other day. And I've never taken a marketing or entrepreneurship or sales class. Like, it sounds risky. Like, how do we mitigate risk? Like, is it for everyone? Like, I'm passionate about a lot of things. I don't know where to take them. Like, how do you mitigate that risk? Is entrepreneurship maybe just not for some people? Or what's your opinion on the risk?
We're not all wired the same. Just like not everybody's meant to be a chief, you have to have Indians, and I hope that's not offensive to anybody listening to here. So, but for me, is that not everyone's wired the same way. We all have different personalities. So to answer your question in a short way, no, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. Some people just rather have structure. Like, I just want to show up, kind of be told what to do. I love following direction. And that doesn't wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you're a sheep or whatever. You know, let people, you know, whatever. Who cares? I can't stand when entrepreneurs put down other people that are not wired that way. Like, no, like if you're wired to fit in structure and you just want to show up, and some people have extreme anxiety where they can't do that the way they're wired or the way they grew up or whatever the case may be. So no, it's not for everyone. But if you're kind of, for me, maybe you're the same way, Ben. I hate being told what to do. When you tell me to go left, I want to go right. If you tell me I can't stay out past 10 o'clock, even if I had no interest staying out past 10 o'clock, now I want to. Why? Because you told me I can't do it. So that's the way I'm wired. So if there's a rebel in you, you're like, I'm just so sick of being tired of what to do. I want to work for myself. If that itch is in you, and you'll know if it's in you or not. If it's not, then don't do it. Because there's pros and cons and everything. In entrepreneurship, you're your own boss. You get to make your own hours. You get to do that. But there's also stress, and there's no one there to back up. If you don't do your work, you're not getting paid, which means you can't pay your bills. So there's pros and cons with everything, right? So that being said, now that I've mentioned that, taking care of that part, you know, so kind of going up the sidewalk shark thing. Oh, well, it's spring. What if it rains every day? Cool. Do it in your garage where it doesn't rain in there. You can take photos that way. Or on the nice days, you know, like you can do that. And I would get testimonials. And what's really cool is that everything you want to learn about marketing is free. Yes, you can buy courses, but you don't have to do that. So, and again, don't quit your full-time job. So this is kind of, again, every situation is different. There's no cookie cutter. But if I had to narrow it down to one thing, again, I'm not a financial advisor and this is not financial advice, just a little disclaimer there. But let me tell you this. So I would always do, if you want to start something, work something that pays your bills, right? And then work on the side. And then when you're up to about 50 to 75% of what you would make full-time, then you can take that leap, or 50%, right? And make sure you have a little nest egg. So that way the first week or two, you can cover that difference, right? That's kind of where I go. And you kind of have a, you kind of, there's that inkling, that intuition that you're like, okay, I'm at 50% capacity part-time around my full-time thing. And it's really at the point when you're like, I can't take on more work because there's enough hours in a day. That's when you quit your full-time thing, not when you're like scrambling to get clients. Does that make sense? So you kind of know when that median hits. So for me, that's what it is. I mean, dude, you know, knowledge isn't power, it's implementing. You can literally Google how to market and network yourself, and there's going to be 800,000 articles about it. Yeah. So it's never a case of, can you figure it out? It's a, do you want to figure it out? And if you don't want to do it, that's okay. That just means you're not meant to be an entrepreneur. And there's nothing wrong with you if you don't want to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's know you and what you are and what you love doing. And it doesn't have to be job-wise, right? It doesn't have to be entrepreneur-wise. You can find a job that you love doing. Like, if you love serving people, great. A teacher, a nurse's aide, right? You love serving people, great. You don't need to be an entrepreneur to do that. Just find what you love doing it. And if you go, oh, I think I might like doing this, go do that. All right, cool. You hate it? No worries. What else can you do to serve your gifts and passions? And you start figuring it out, right? And forget what people say, because they're like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Hey man, nobody at the end of their life says, man, I wish I listened to everybody's opinions. No one says that. So yeah. Anyways, that's my opinion on that. And it's just an opinion.
Well, I'm with you. There's so many moving parts, you know, to add on. You don't have to be a serial entrepreneur. You can be a business owner that was once an entrepreneur, find your spot and then grow there and then be comfortable there. You don't need five different gigs like David might have. And I know personally, like, I would always come to the table with new ideas. And the thing that would irk me was just being shut down. I'm like, we should do this, this, and this. I've been reading this book, this book, this book. I've listened to 10 hours of podcasts. I think I have a way I can implement this. Nope, we don't do that here, or we don't do it that way. So my big driver was autonomy and the ability to try different things and to beta test and really just have, you know, just the ability to try things differently. But just to tell my story in very short, I started my music podcast in 2016. I started my business in 2020. So I was podcasting, booking bands, networking, reading, learning marketing on the side, marketing myself well before I started a business, which was already something I loved to do on the side. So I think your advice is very sound in the fact, start it on the side, make sure you'd enjoy doing it for free, for fun, before you ever consider, and again, it's not financial advice, but a lot of people say cut ties, take the risk, be confident. Well, if you have no strategy and it's almost better to get the feet wet. I'm wondering in your story, like, what drives you? Like, I like the autonomy. I like the ability to try different things and to beta test ideas and always be learning and have these conversations. What is your why? Like, you seem like the kind of guy that couldn't work in a office management corporate role where you're basically given tasks. Like, you're the polar opposite, right? Like, what drives you? Like, what is... A lot of people aren't just entrepreneurs, they're business owners, they're salespeople, they're agents. They are intrapreneurs in their business, and they might be curious what their why is. Like, what's your why? What drives you? How do we determine it? There's a lot of questions here, but my two questions are, what drives you, and how do I figure out what drives me if I'm still curious as to how to answer that?
Yeah, that's tough, right? Because, you know, there's, what, 7 billion people on the planet, so it's really tough to, you know, get it down and whatnot. I think, you know, a good start is asking people that are very close to you and saying, hey, what am I really good at? Or what do you notice lights up about me when I talk about something, right? A lot of people can do that, right? And just, again, also just trying things, especially at a young age, if you're trying things out, you know, there's always this, like, I hate that. Like, there's almost like a, well, you have to have it figured out at 20 years old. What? I don't even know who I was eating mud at 20 years old. Right. So, I mean, I got arrested for the fifth time at 20. So I don't know, you know, how the audience here, what age and what they're doing and who they are and whatnot. But can I just say this? A destiny is not a destination. It's not when I get this, I'm arrived in what I am. It's just taking a next step every single day. And sometimes your passions change. And to answer your question, what really drives me is I just grew up with I've had a very little in my life. Like, I didn't go on vacations growing up. I didn't grow up connected. I didn't know someone, you know, for whatever I needed someone to know someone for. And I just know what it's like to not have mentors. I know what it's like to grow up in a broken place. I know what it's like not to have a little. I've also know what it's like to have a lot and everywhere in between. I know what it's like to get your business down 65% because a pandemic of nothing of your fault because someone ate a bat in China, you know, the things that just don't matter to you. So, or that you can't affect. I know what it's like to do a lot of that. And for me, I just want to help people in that way. So for me, my vision of who I am is, me personally, I love helping local entrepreneurs out in the area, because often we feel like our mission is to help others in different areas of the world. But what about our own? Why can't our own place be our own mission field? So for me, it's like, I want to help the people here. And then, you know, then you worry about the later. So people are like, Dave, why don't you do like an entrepreneurship program around the world? I don't care about around the world. I care about right here in Western New York. So for me is, how do I help other entrepreneurs take next steps in their own business? And how do I use my passions to do that? And what do I not want to do? Because if you're not very clear on that, it's really tough to move forward, because you're going to get pulled in so many different directions.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, if you can help your local community, that'll branch out where you can help the entire world, starting with your local community. If you can't help the local community, you might have to move, in my opinion. If you can't help the people around you, why would the entire world be open to your message? Like, it's one person at a time is my mindset. One conversation at a time.
Yeah. It's, you know, one thing too is just taking a next step with helping everybody. So for me, a lot of times people think they're like, well, I don't want to reach out to you because I don't own a business here. I'm thinking about it. Like, grab a cup of coffee with everyone. Everyone has value. And in Western New York, or at least I'll speak for Buffalo, there's a 2-degree separation of everyone. The person that used to deliver your pizzas now, you know, started his own tech company 6 years later. You're like, holy cow, yeah. I remember this guy, right? Or I remember this girl. So people have value, and your value isn't tied to your title or where you're at in your journey right now. You have value right where you are right now. And the world needs what you have to offer, even if you're not even sure what you have to offer yet. But the world needs what you have to have. You're here for a reason. So what next step can you take today to release some of that, right? And sometimes the best way to help others is to help ourselves first. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, you can't give what you don't have. And for me, you know, at least for me, it's like, okay, like, I have to take care of myself first, then I can help taking care of others. So a lot of people have that backwards. I got to make sure I'm taking care of everybody else. And we get worn down, then our glass is totally empty, and we're still trying to pour into others. It's okay. I'll just say it plainly, maybe it is about you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to take care of you. Then you can take care of others first. So many people, I feel like they have that backwards. Yes, help people along the way. You don't have to have a lot to give. I totally understand that. I love to be generous in that way too. But in the end, if I can't take care of myself or my family first, how the heck can I take care of others?
So I think you're spot on. To add a little bit to it, if you're completely in a rut and you're high anxiety and you're struggling, I do believe that helping someone and seeing them smile will make you smile, and it will get you out of that rut for that moment. But it's true that you can't just help others. You need to focus on yourself so you can help others better and more. What are some of those small action steps? Like, what if I am in a rut and I am struggling, or I've been focusing too much in business and not my family, and I just feel unbalanced? Like, is there anything I can do today? Is there any small steps that can kind of flip the script and basically empower myself? Like, what are your ideas on that?
Yeah. And it's, you know, first step, what I do, again, every situation is different, but for me, I get alone, and most of us don't want to be quiet. For example, you know, we always walk with headphones on or driving with music on. We even have music in the shower. How about you? But you ever notice that you do your best thinking in the shower? Why is that? Because you're actually standing still, yeah. And it's quiet. right? You know, you think about when you're on a road trip with your parents or something, and someone turns on the radio and yells, "Shut up!" Why do they yell "shut up"? Because they need quiet. Because what does silence bring? It brings clarity. So when we're in a rut, we need silence, and it's tough to be in silence. Oh, I have to hear what I actually hear what I'm feeling, and I actually have to feel my emotions. And so once we get in silence, number one is get in silence. Number two is just being real. What got me to where I am right now? I bet you there's a good shot that this didn't happen like that. There was something leading up to this. Well, your relationship just didn't fail. You didn't just start feeling like you have anxiety. There was something that kind of got along the way that we kind of either ignored or we thought it would take care of itself. So also acknowledging what got us here. Man, I didn't acknowledge this. I kind of saw this comment. I didn't think it was a big deal. Well, it's here now. No big deal. Don't dwell on the past. What's the next step I can take today? And again, it's not adding something because our life is so full. Our to-do list gets so long and our time gets shorter. It's like, what do I need to remove? Is it a friendship that's just kind of been there? It's apathetic. Well, I've been friends with them for 20 years. Well, you don't have to be friends with them for the next 20 years, right? Removing something. What is not working for me right now? What is kind of, and another way is, how do I recharge? We don't recharge we're in a go, go, go society. Do I feel recharged? How do I get recharged? How often should I recharge? You know, what does that mean for you? Is it reading a book? Is it taking a walk? Is it spending more time with better people? Is it getting out of an apathetic relationship? Is it maybe distance yourself from family members who, because of their blood related to you, I have to be around them? No, you don't. That's one thing I found out. Just because you're related to someone does not mean you have to spend a lot of time with them. Sometimes we have to, you know, so just being honest, assessing everything we're doing, and then again, taking a next step, it's removing something or adding something. And I think that's really important. And then one more thing I want to say to this is that often one thing we don't notice is that we don't realize is often people are fighting battles we know nothing about. Every single person, your neighbor, the person across the street, that person I feel that at least from a filtered view, we think they have everything together, that everything is just perfect. It's not true. I'm fighting a battle you know nothing about. You're fighting a battle most people know nothing about. And when we realize that a lot of us have deep flaws, we start having more empathy for others. We start realizing that person that's yelling at the grocery store because something wasn't charged right, someone cut them in line. It's not really about getting charged wrong or cutting in line. It's about probably the last 20 years, that person probably felt neglected. They always felt pushed aside and something triggered that. It's not about the grocery store. But we're like, oh, that person's an idiot. When maybe you didn't realize the last 20 years that this thing happened, that thing happened. Yeah, whatever. Take responsible for your emotions. But yes, I get that. But when we see people as the human beings that they are, we start having more empathy. Wow, that person probably needs a friend. Or that person needs, you know, how do we give them empathy, right? Only love can do what hate wishes it could. Only love can do what hate wishes it can. And it's really hard to remember that all the time. But when we remember that, we're like, man, you know, doesn't mean we enable, there's a big difference. We can love people, but we shouldn't enable them, right? Mm-hmm. You can love someone without enabling them. So I want to make sure I preference all those things, but right. It's really hard to do that in 1 or 2 minutes. But I hope that answered your question, Ben, the best I could there.
I think you're spot on. One thing I encourage listeners to do, and neither David or I, no one's going to feel bad if you do. If you need to pause this podcast, think about some of these things, recharge. I recommend you take some notes. I find this so much time. I'm on the interviewing end, right? And I'm listening actively. I miss so many things. So I'm going to click rewind. I'm going to re-listen to this because there's things that you're going to miss the first time that you'll catch the second time. So I want to give people permission to pause this at any point, whether it's your first, third, five, doesn't matter how many listens, feel free to pause, recharge, right? Take a quiet shower, think about some of these things because there's so many buckets of gold that if they just pick up one from this show, we've done our job. That being said, I do want to move into the rapid fire round, which is a short, sweet, fun. We've provoked so many thoughts. So right now I just want to get to know David more on a fun level. And we'll wrap up with that. So short, sweet questions. I want to start just with a two-parter. Western New York, tell me one thing you love about it and maybe give me something, a place where we could improve a little bit.
What I love about it is that there is a 2-degree separation of everyone. I do love that. So I do love that because there's an easy way to get connected. So it's the point is, do you want to get connected and do you really want to pursue that? So if you really want to network in Western New York, it's not that, I want to say it's not hard, it's not easy, it's just really simple. Just get yourself out there and you can probably get connected to anyone you want to get connected, because there is a 2-degree separation of everyone. One of the problems I noticed, and that's why I wanted to solve it with my podcast, is I feel like we were stuck in the 90s in terms of networking and how we do all these things. And it's the same thing. Okay, everybody does their elevator pitch. Everyone, we have a 10, 15 minute presentation that nobody really wants to listen to. And I thought it was very bland, very boring. And I wanted to evolve that and I wanted to solve that problem. And I was sick of waiting for it. So that's kind of my goal with the podcast, is doing great events that really. So anyways, I know it's a short round, so I'll stop there.
I'm with you, man, because I'm not a good old boy. I'm not part of the boys club. I'm a shitty golfer. So I don't fit into the traditional realm. So I think podcasting's great. Let's shout. We'll do it at the end a second time, but where do we find your podcast?
Well, you can find us on any social media platform, WNY Entrepreneur Podcast. It'll come right up, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, or you can go to our website, WNYEntrepreneur.com, just short, Western New York Entrepreneur.com. You can subscribe to our email. We have over 3,000 local entrepreneurs in Western New York subscribe to it. So everybody always ask, when can you let us know when our next episode is or when your next event is? I can't let over 3,000 of you know. Yeah. Just subscribe to our email list. That's and great. You'll be the first to be notified.
Love it. And there's so many people that ultimately Western New York business owners, entrepreneurs that you can learn from, that you can connect with without the boring traditional sales pitch, networking. You can get to know their businesses, introduce yourself to them via email, LinkedIn. I got way off rapid fire round. Cats or dogs?
Oh, dogs. Yeah. So I'm a dog dad. So yeah, dogs.
Beer, wine, or fill in the blank?
Beer. I love craft beer. So when I traveled around, me and my wife did a road trip across the country. We did, I think it was 44 states in 3 months last year. And I bought a beer in every single state and brought it home.
So, I'm the exact same way. Favorite podcast or maybe a current podcast you're listening to other than your own?
Geez, there's two that kind of stick on my mind. One is Front Row Dads with John Vroman. He's a friend of mine. It's about basically his slogan is a family man with a business, not a businessman with a family. And even though I'm not a dad, I don't believe in preparing when things are about to come up. I believe in preparing when they are. So I love Courageous Parenting with Isaac Toplin, who's another friend of mine. I think he has like 9 or 10 kids, and really watching how he has a vision for his family and hearing his wife talk about it. So I really just like things like that. That's kind of where the season I'm in. I've only been married for 2 years, so I really want to like become the best husband and eventual dad that I can become. So those are the two that I'm really plugged into.
I love this. Android, iOS.
Android. Yeah, Android. It's so funny. I had a debate with my friends about that today. I said, iPhone, they haven't been relevant since 2012.
Ooh.
And they're like, well, I'm like, yeah, Samsung is, they come out with new technology and then Apple then comes out with it a year later and promotes it as new. Anyway, sorry. You asked.
So social media, man, if I want to connect with you, follow you, ultimately enter into David's world a little bit, what social media platform should I look you up on?
Oh, I don't know. I would say I'm trying to think on a professional level, obviously LinkedIn. I don't post a ton on Instagram. We do for our Western Entrepreneur page, but I don't know, Facebook or Instagram I don't know, all of them. I probably post most on Facebook and LinkedIn. If you want to know my personal side, Facebook. If you want to know me professionally, LinkedIn. I guess I'll say that.
Good stuff. Yeah. And again, I encourage everybody, re-listen to this podcast. I'm doing this live and I already realize that I personally need to re-listen to it. So you should too. I want to ask you the best way to reach out. We already mentioned LinkedIn, Instagram. We'll put it in the show notes. Check out WNY Entrepreneurship Podcast. And then other than reaching out to you, is there anything we didn't touch on? Any, you know, parting words for a budding business owner, an entrepreneur, anything that I should have asked you if I was a little more informed?
No, the only thing I would say is if you're not happy about the money you're making, provide more value. People always pay for value. And if the customers aren't purchasing from you, it's because they don't see the value of it. So how do you show more value? How do you bring more value? How do you give more value? And I'm a big believer is always give more than what you're charging for. If I charge $15 for a ticket in my event, I want them to feel like they left with $30, $40. I always want to give more. Mm-hmm. And so for me, again, if you're not getting as many clients or just not seeing the value, how do you give more value? How do you provide more value? How do you show more value? And how do you keep showing the problems that you solve in different ways? That I will leave with that.
Love it. Repetition's important to me. If they're ridiculous and they haven't looked you up yet by the end of this podcast, tell us one more time, what's the best way to get in touch? Is it the website? Is it the LinkedIn? Is it the Instagram? Is it just check out the show notes? Is there anything we missed here?
Yeah, my email is not super short, so maybe put it in the notes. But I mean, my email is, it's everywhere. If you look me up, it's going to be really hard not to not find me. But in terms of like my information's everywhere. So not hiding is what I'm trying to say. So my email is David. Easy, David@WNYEntrepreneur.com. Throw me an email. Always up for at least a virtual cup of coffee if you're in Rochester, or we can meet out there. So like I said, I never really turn down a cup of coffee with people. I love hearing their stories, what makes them tick and whatnot. So it's great.
Yeah, and I feel like I've asked you like for follow-up. Well, how do I follow up with you like 3-4 times? But I think it's important because what David's doing with Western New York networking events and the podcast, I think it's really important that you wrote down one of those mediums and you do follow up. Other than that, man, I know you've got an appointment in 2 minutes. I kept you as long as I could. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. It's been a ton of fun. I do hope you come back.
Yeah, man. Whenever you want me, I'm here. So thanks, man. I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks for asking. And I'd love to meet you in person someday.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone. We'll be right back.